Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, January the 16th. Pretty afternoon here in Dallas, Texas. We had some chill and some wind and all of that, but right now it's a very pretty afternoon. I think it's going to be around 50 today and tomorrow, so we always welcome that this time of the year. Well, today we're going to talk about the caravan. There's a new caravan forming in Central America. We're also going to talk about the shutdown. It's day number 24 of the shutdown. Nothing is happening. This is going to drag on, I think, for a little bit. And then, you know, the corporation, Gillette Corporation, one of the oldest American corporations, has decided to go politically correct. And when corporations do that, I think they make a big mistake. Just ask the NFL and ESPN. So we'll talk a little bit about those three major stories. But I want to begin with what is happening or just happened today in Syria, where there was a terrorist attack on a place that apparently there were many U.S. soldiers there. There have been some U.S. casualties. I have not heard a number. They may not know exactly how many, but there are some U.S. casualties in Syria. And that, of course, highlights, the risk, if you will, of being in that region. Now, I happen to believe that we should get out of Syria. I don't really see the need to be in Syria. I think it's a very confusing situation. We don't really know, you know, who the good guy and the bad guy is. So sometimes it's better not to get into those kinds of civil wars really going on in Syria. But at the same time, once you're in, you just don't pull out, because by pulling out, you sometimes create problems. And so I think it's going to be a tough call for President Trump. I agree with his objective that we shouldn't be in Syria. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I can understand Afghanistan and I can understand Iraq, because we're there. In the case of Afghanistan, we're preventing a sanctuary, as happened in the 1990s. So I understand that. And in the case of Iraq, well, we're simply helping Iraq come together. And Iraq is doing a very nice job of coming together as a country. Syria, Libya, these other countries, those are different stories. So, yes, I support the pullout. But I think this incident today highlights just how risky and how difficult it is to say that you're going to pull out. I agree with President Trump that we should get out. I had a little problem with how he explained it, and now he said it. I think it would have been better to do it differently, quietly, but, you know, it's done. He did it, so that's just the way it goes. But I think, again, what happened today in Syria highlights the seriousness and the risk of being in that part of the world. Our sympathies, of course, to the families of these soldiers. Again, I have not seen a figure as to how many. We do know that there are special forces primarily in Syria, so we'll see how it turns out. Well, there is another caravan forming down in Central America. I believe right now the caravan is in, I think, Guatemala. So their next stop is Mexico once they get to the Mexican border. It's probably going to take a day or two to get up there because, again, they're walking by foot. So it's going to take a while to get up to the Mexican border. And then, of course, the question is, what's going to happen when they get to Mexico? Mexico has at least publicly recently said that they're beefing up some of their entry points in the south, primarily with Guatemala. They're not really interested in having any more of these caravans. Public opinion in Mexico is dead set against these caravans. You're not just hearing it in Tijuana, but there are reports of people even further south, closer to Guatemala, who are simply not. They just don't want this. They understand why people are coming, but they don't want these people to come. They don't want Mexico to become like an avenue, if you will, for people to go to the United States from Central America. So we'll see how President López Obrador responds to a challenge he's going to be facing here in the next 24 or 48 hours. He has a few problems right now in Mexico. He has a gasoline shortage problem, which is creating a lot of tension and a lot of problems because Mexicans are not really accustomed to gasoline shortages. They are accustomed to lots of gasoline. So this is a problem. Also, Mexico City is a city of 20 million people. There's probably 5 million cars. So it's very difficult to have a gasoline shortage when so many people depend on their cars to get around. So this is a big challenge for President López Obrador. I don't know if he's going to pull it off, frankly. I don't know if he can handle this. If he accepts the caravan, I think politically that's a real disaster for him. I really do. And he's going to pay for it politically because the people of Mexico do not want these caravans. They really don't. And I think, for obvious reasons. Look, they don't know who's coming in. They don't know who these people are. All of a sudden you have a caravan of people going through your town. Not a very practical thing to do. So we'll keep an eye on this latest caravan currently down in Guatemala. Well, this is shutdown day number 24. As far as I can see right now, I don't see anything from the Democrats. I don't see anything that the Democrats are doing to put one of their ideas on the table. It seems to me that if you're going to say, no, we're not going to work with President Trump, or we disagree with President Trump, they have a responsibility now that they run the House to put something on the table and say, this is what we want. Let's sit down and negotiate. They're not doing that. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, is even suggesting that President Trump should cancel the State of the Union, which is pretty ridiculous. I mean, come on. State of the Union has nothing to do, not going to be impacted whatsoever by this shutdown. Nobody in the Capitol has lost their jobs, and nobody who's going to take care of the president or the members of Congress is going to be impacted by this. But I think it seems to me that Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, has a problem, and I'm not sure she's going to be able to get out of the box. Number one, she has what I like to call an 80-15 problem. 85% of the Democrat members of the House do not want to negotiate with Trump. In fact, all they want to do is bring down Trump. And then you have another 15%, and this is the reason, this 15% is the reason why they have a majority. A lot of these new representatives from more suburban areas, more conservative areas, they were really elected to get things done. They were not elected to investigate Trump. They were not elected to impeach Trump. They were not elected to just say no to Trump. They were elected because they said they wanted to get things done. They wanted to get things done. They were sick and tired of not getting things done. Well, we'll see. These representatives are going to be put to a test right now. I believe that President Trump invited some of them today to the White House, or plans to invite some of these Democrats to the White House. I think that's a good move. I think that's a good move. And I hope that, I hope these Democrats come, and I hope they bring some ideas. Because I think the longer this drags out, the Democrats run the risk of being seen as the party that just says no. And that's not a good place to be. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos on the show information. You can click on that, and it'll take you to his schedule here around Dallas. A couple of things on this day in history. Back in 1970, Curt Flood, who was a Major League Baseball player back then, decided to take his case to the Supreme Court. He lost eventually, but he was declaring that the system that baseball used to have, called the Reserve Clause, was unconstitutional because it denied a player the opportunity to negotiate with other teams. Eventually, he lost in the courts, but eventually Major League Baseball won in the courts later in the mid-70s. So Curt Flood, a man who was willing to fight for principle, and I've always admired him for that. On this day in 1974, Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford were selected into the Hall of Fame. Again, these two were two of the big players and the big Yankee teams that were in the World Series. This is amazing. The Yankee teams were in the series over a 16-year period from 1949 to 1964. This Yankee team was in the World Series 14 out of 16 years. I mean, I don't think there has ever been a run like that in any sport. To be in your final games or in your final series of your sport 14 times in 16 years, I don't think that's ever happened. Probably will never happen again because of the economics, if nothing else, of Major League Baseball. So Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford, Mickey Mantle passed away in 1995. Whitey Ford is still around, and from time to time you see him at Yankee Stadium in the old-timers game. Whitey Ford, the great left-hander, of course, Mickey Mantle, one of the biggest power hitters in Major League history. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker today about Gillette, you know, the corporation Gillette. Again, one of the great American companies. It goes back a long, long time. And they, for years, I'm sure you have gone to the store and purchased razors, blades, and so on to shave, made by Gillette. In recent years, they've had a lot of competition, so they're no longer as dominant as they used to be. But they're still, you know, one of the great names in American business history. I don't believe that they're owned by the same people anymore. I think they're part of Procter & Gamble now, but I could be wrong on that. But anyway, they decided to run an ad talking about sort of attacking men, really. That's what it came down to. A politically correct ad attacking men and the so-called toxic masculinity, which is the latest thing coming from the left. And I think a lot of men, myself, we were very offended by that ad, you know, because when men behave poorly against women, that is not a natural thing that men do. Men are not naturally damaging toward women or physical toward women. That's something that men can learn. It's a bad thing they can learn, but that's not the man I am, for example, or the men that my father was, or the men that I've taught my sons to be. I've always taught my sons, just like my father taught me, to respect women. So when a man is physical against a woman, or he pushes a woman around, or he treats a woman like Harvey Weinstein, for example, treated women, that's not boys being boys. That is a man behaving poorly. And I think the biggest problem that young men have today is not toxic masculinity. The biggest problem they have is that many, many young men in our country are growing up in a home without a father, and growing up in a country where you don't have a lot of the positive male role models that you had growing up, whether it was television or the media or whatever. So more and more young men, frankly, are growing up with single mothers, and they're not being taught how to be a man. And I think that that's why you have all of these problems with men treating women poorly. When I was growing up, a man who, let's say, beat a woman was not boys being boys. A man who beat a woman was considered to be a coward, someone who was not much of a man, actually. He was not much of a man. And for some reason, this ad is trying to present all men, every single one of us, every single man, as if there's something natural in us or something in us that makes us treat women poorly. That's not true at all. You can raise sons and you can raise men to treat women correctly and properly and be a gentleman. That's how I was brought up, and that's how I brought up my sons. And I think most of the men that I know are in that category as well. So I regret that Gillette has gone the politically correct route, something that a lot of companies have been doing recently. Remember that company that decided not to sell guns after the shooting in Florida? And I think they make a big mistake when they inject themselves in politics because, I just think they do. They should stay in their business. They should do whatever they do. They do it well, and that's the business that they should stay in. So I have a post about this over at the American Thinker today if you want to check it out. Well, we've had a lot of interesting guests lately. If you would check our files, George Rodriguez was on us a few days ago. He, of course, is a conservative from South Texas. Alicia Colon was with us on Tuesday. She's a great lady, up in New York. We talked a little bit about President Trump. Monica Showalter was with us a few days ago, and we spoke about Venezuela. And, of course, Bill Katz, as always, on Sundays we do our weekend review with Bill Katz. So check out some of the shows. They're in the archives. All you have to do is go down and stroll down, and there you would see the shows. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.